Bid you a good morning. We have some folks here this morning in our assembly, properly socially distanced, and we appreciate that. But we have a number of folks who are watching us on the World Wide Web here this morning, and we appreciate that very much for you tuning in as we come together here on this Lord's Day to worship our God in heaven. We come to the part of our worship where we're going to continue to honor and bring glory to God by preaching and teaching His Word, but not just simply preaching and teaching it, but also listening to it and feeding upon it that we might be able to gain the most thereby. And again, by us feeding upon it and then growing upon it, bringing honor and glory to God. I put to all of our remembrance that our theme for the year is a church with 2020 vision. And we've said, come, let us see things clearly or more clearly together. And each month we had a particular activity or a particular subject that we in particular want to think about and gain a better knowledge, be able to see better, if you will, what the Word of God has to say about it. This month we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week I brought a lesson entitled The Holy Spirit, and we talked about who He was and what He was and His part in our salvation. And you recall that the Holy Spirit is a part of that divine triune that we know of as God, the Elohim we read of in the book of Genesis chapter 1, who said, let us make man in our image. Who Jesus would say in Matthew 28 verse 19 that we should baptize in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about how the whole universe screams out the triune, if you will, of the Godhood of God. We talk about the fact that we see time, and we see matter, and we see space. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, Paul says, he prays that the God himself may sanctify you wholly, both spirit, soul, and body. Even ourselves are made up of that triune, if you will. The Spirit, the revealer of God's Word. And that's what we see in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. When there, as Steve read so well a few moments ago, as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter to the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That is, the gospel and the salvation of man was not something that man could see or something that he could hear or something that he could come up with on his own. But in verse 10, I read that those things that man could not have come up with and could not have discovered on his own, God has revealed them unto us. How, Paul? By His Spirit. The Spirit of God has revealed all these things that God has prepared for those that love Him. In Ephesians 3 and verse 3, Paul said, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I've written a few words, whereby when you read, you can understand my mystery of Jesus Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets. Listen, by the Spirit. The Spirit of God has revealed this mystery of Jesus Christ, the things that man could not have come up with on his own through perception of the ear or the eye or the thought of his heart. God has revealed this mystery of Christ to you and I. In the book of 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, Peter there said, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a private interpretation, or that is come by some private individual. For the prophecy came not in old time, but the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the revealer of God's Word. He is the one who has searched the mind of God and has revealed the things that God has prepared and the things that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we talked about that idea. We talked about some misconceptions in regards to the Holy Spirit. But this morning, what I'd like to talk to you about for just a few short moments is what can be done with the Holy Spirit. I preach lessons in regards to what would you have me do with Christ? As Pilate would ask the question. And I have different sermons based upon that idea, binding the hands of Jesus. What can be done with the Father?
we can also have a discussion of what the Scripture says we can do with the Spirit. And maybe that will help us better see our relationship and how it is that we order our lives and how it affects the Holy Spirit in particular. Well, what are some of those things that can be done with the Spirit this morning? Well, first of all, I want you to appreciate that you can quench the Spirit. The Apostle Paul one time warned against such in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 when he said, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench literally means to extinguish, just like we would extinguish a flame. In the book of Jeremiah 23 and 29, God there says, "Is not my word like a fire? The words of God is like a fire, and if I'm not careful, I will extinguish those things the Spirit has revealed." In the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, I read there, "And they said one to another, did our not hearts burn with inside us as he talked with us in a way and opened unto us the Scripture." The Spirit, by the word he reveals, causes a spark to ignite flames in our hearts, and we have the choice of what we will do with that flame. We can either fan that flame, or we can snuff it out. One of the things you can do with the Spirit this morning is you can quench the Spirit. Paul says, quench not the Spirit. But also, you can rebel against the Spirit. Did you know that you can rebel against the Holy Spirit? Well, you can. Isaiah said in Isaiah 63 and verse 10, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and he fought against them." They had rebelled against the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind," that is the man who minds the things of the flesh, "is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can it be." Not subject. That's the idea of rebellion. To rebel means to rise in opposition and resistance to an established law or ruler. These people had risen up against the Holy Spirit, and you and I can do the exact same thing when we rebel against His Word. What can I do with the Spirit? I can rebel against the Spirit. But also, I want you to see that I can resist the Spirit. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, there Stephen there said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye." Someone asked the question, what's the difference, Brian, between rebellion and resistance? Well, rebellion is when one rises offensively against. To resist, many times, is a defense of one's own will. That's what the idea Stephen was getting at there when he said, "You stiff neck." What's that mean? That means they were stubborn. And it utilized the whole word and the whole concept was that old yoke of oxen who would rebel or resist against the yoke. Not open rebellion, just pulling against the yoke, just like those old oxen did. People just want to resist the guidance of God. They won't stand up and openly rebel, but they wish to resist the will of God. David said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And though many times we will accept many things from God's word in our life, but there are some things we will resist. And you can do that. And when you're doing that, you are resisting the Holy Spirit who has revealed those words to you and I. So we can resist the Spirit. But also, I want you to see this. We can grieve the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Paul there says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit is grieved. Think about that. And what that tells me, it shows me of his end individual emotion, separate from the Father, separate from the Son. The Holy Spirit is grieved in regards to our sin against Him. Remember the passage we read a few moments ago, Isaiah 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. Vexed means to cause distress, annoyance, frustration. And because they grieved the Holy Spirit, it says, He turned to be their enemy and fought against them. When you and I rebel, when we resist, when we quench the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand, it's not just Jesus Christ that is affected. It's not just the Father, but the Spirit Himself is grieved by your actions. But also, I want you to see this. He can be outraged. In the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled under the foot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which He is sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Outrage literally means extremely strong reaction of anger. I am outraged. Who's outraged? The Spirit. Who did that? Those who sin against God. Notice, if you will, the context of that. Because you can choose to outrage the Spirit. And Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting the assembling together of ourselves as the habit of some is, but rather encouraging one another, even the more as we see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and the fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. In 2 or 3, verse 29, how much worse do you think will be deserved the one who's trampled under the foot the Son of God and has outraged the Holy Spirit? You and I can outrage the Holy Spirit this morning. And those are some things that could be done to the Holy Spirit. When I think about that idea, that helps me understand. It helps me to see more clearly the individual divine being in the Trinity, the triune, the Godhead, the Godhood that we can see clearly from the creation of the world, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. I can outrage the Spirit. Is there any good things, Brian, can be done with the Spirit? Absolutely so. I'm glad you asked. Because I want you to understand here this morning that you can be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, Paul there says, be not drunk with wine that is of debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I can choose to be filled with the Spirit. How was it that they were to be filled with the Spirit? Well, Paul gives us divine commentary on that in verse 19 when he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Very similarly, we find in Colossians 3 and verse 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You and I are filled with the Spirit when we sing songs of praise, when we sing the psalms, when we sing spiritual songs, when we sing hymns. Why? Because we are speaking and we are teaching and we are admonishing the things of the Spirit, the things that the Spirit has revealed to you and I. We are teaching and we are admonishing and we are exhorting one another with those words. And I'm being filled up with those words. Don't be filled with drunkenness, but filled with the Spirit. You and I here this morning can be filled with the Spirit. But also, I can walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I can walk by the Spirit, not as the denominational preacher may teach you, that you have some sort of miraculous indwelling of the Spirit that just again, miraculously, outside your bounds of decision making, keeps you from sin. No. He says you will walk by the Spirit. That is, as opposed to walking in the flesh. To walk there means to set one's course in life. Who does the setting? You do. And you can decide to walk by the Spirit. That is, how are you going to live your life? I can live my life according to the dictates of God's Word, revealed by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, or I can live my life to my desires. If I will follow the dictates of the Word of God, it will keep me from sin. That's the reason why David would say in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word I've hidden in my heart, I'm filled with the Spirit. Why, David? That I might not sin against thee. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But I can also be led by the Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 14, for all who are by the Spirit led are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads us by His teachings. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The words of God, the revealer, the Holy Spirit, leads me in the paths of my life. In Psalms 119 and verse 5, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? Who's going to lead me into a cleansing? By taking heed, he says, according to thy word. You see, it's the Spirit who has revealed the Word of God that leads me to being able to be cleansed. Anytime I look upon the Word of God, I see the Spirit. I feel the Spirit. In John 16 and 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will lead you into all truth. Your translation may say guide you into all truth. We are guided. We are led by the Spirit. Jesus would say, or should say, John would say in John 1 and verse 11, speaking of Jesus, the Spirit would reveal He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But as many that would receive Him, He gave them power to become children of God. Those that are led by the Spirit are children of God, Paul says. And those of us who will receive Jesus and believe in Jesus, He's given us the power to become children of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you've purified your souls by being obedient unto the truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, will come, He will lead you into all truth. When I am led by the Spirit and I'm obedient to the Spirit, I purify my soul, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Now listen, by the Word of God. Who gave me the Word of God? Who reveals the Word of God? It is the Holy Spirit. When I am led by the Spirit, I can become the sons of God. We're all children of God through faith, because as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Where do I get that faith? Where do I get that teaching in regards to baptism? From the words of God revealed by the Spirit. I can be led by the Spirit. And by the way, as opposed to being led by men, as being opposed by being led by church catechism, church constitution, I can be led by the Spirit in His words. But also, I can bear witness with the Spirit. Listen to Paul in Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What's that mean? That means that my inward man can know and be a witness that I am a child of God, because the Spirit of God has borne witness that of what God has done, what God has desired, and what I must do. You see, under the law of Moses, nothing was established without at least two witnesses. We read that in the book of Hebrews. Nothing between witnesses, two or three witnesses. So I can prove, how can I prove I'm a child of God? I can prove that I'm a child of God by having two witnesses. And who are those two witnesses? Number one is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit says, you do this, and you will be a child of God. And my inward man can bear witness because I have listened to that and I have obeyed that. And therefore, I know that I'm because the Spirit of God bears witness that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Be thou faithful even unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. There's the witness of the Spirit of God. I have done that. There's the second witness. I bear witness with the Holy Spirit that I am a child of God. One more point, lesson George. Tell you something else we can do. We can have the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to Paul in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Who wouldn't want to have that in their life? You can have the fruit of the Spirit. Now in the context in Galatians 5:19 through 21, he speaks to us of the works of the flesh. There are different acts that make up sins or the passions of the body. You know, sometimes we speak of the fruits of the Spirit. Perish the thought. Fruit of the Spirit. See, the Apostle Paul one time, a little bit earlier in that book, made an argument based upon one letter. Remember that? The letter S. Not unto seeds, but unto seed. Remember that? I make my argument right here based upon one letter. Works of the flesh, of the Spirit. You say, I can be followed by the flesh and I might kill somebody. That's a work of the flesh. But I may not steal. Or I could steal and not kill anybody. And that would be a work of the flesh. But you and I, ladies and gentlemen, when I am filled with the Spirit, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm led by the Spirit, when I'm bearing witness with the Spirit, I will have the fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit. Someone says, no, I think it's the fruits of the Spirit. No, you don't become a child of God and say, well, you know what, he's a child of God, he loves people, but you know, he's just not very kind. Oh, well, you know, he's a child of God, he's kind, but he's not very good. No. The fruit of the Spirit. What is that fruit? The fruit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Set your mind on the things of the flesh, and that is death, Paul would say in Romans 8:6. But to set the mind on the Spirit, life and peace. Peace, not life, no. Life and peace. Life, not peace, no. You set your mind on the Spirit, you have life and peace. What can be done with the Holy Spirit? Well, you can quench the Spirit. You can rebel against the Spirit. You can resist and grieve. You can outrage the Holy Spirit. By the way, I encourage you not to do any of those. You can be filled with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Bear witness with the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit. And if we've learned these things here this far, our time has been spent very well. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation and encouragement. There's anyone here this morning and needs help, get back on that straight narrow path that leads from this little ground to heaven above. We extend the Lord's invitation unto you here this morning. Sing this song and encourage us. We're going to have a few minutes anyway. Come on now. We stand.